Next on BYUSN, week one of fall camp in the books. We'll play the best sound bites from camp thus far and lay out your top storylines. Plus, we'll hear from both BYU quarterbacks most likely to start, beginning with Gary Bohannon as he details how his shoulder is feeling and his specific growth in the offense since spring practices.
Hey, Jake Retzlaff will break down where he has improved the most and why he's confident BYU's offense will be better this season. And Yegor Demin gets a 5-star rating from 24/7 Sports. How big of a deal is that for BYU?
It's a huge deal because it's never happened before. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is a happy Monday, August 5th. I'm Spencer Linton, alongside a man who appreciates a good catch from the Nacua brothers, Blaine Fowler.
The Nacua brothers, when they were here, they brought great leadership and spectacular catches every day in practice. Both of them recently have had one-handed catches.
This is what they do.
And by the way, news is that, you know, Samson has signed now. He's with the New Orleans Saints. So both the Nacua brothers. Here's younger brother.
I love that it says younger brother, Samson.
Yeah, younger brother, Sam. But isn't that funny? It's like when you become a star, all of a sudden Samson, who's the older brother and the bigger brother, who's taller, becomes the younger brother. That's a crazy one-hander in the Saints training camp. Right there. Pretty good catch. Here's Puka.
This is earlier in the week.
He goes up. He takes the backhand because the ball's thrown a little bit behind, and he just palms it.
Come on.
He literally just palms the ball with one hand.
Come on.
And brings it in. Which one is better? Which is a better catch? Little brother, Puka, or big brother, Samson.
Are you talking the actual little brother?
Yeah, the actual little brother.
Not the one that was mislabeled Samson.
The little brother Samson.
I'm still going with Puka's backhand. That's a little bit of an edge.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just hoping that Puka's okay because Adam Schefter reported this morning that Puka's dealing with a minor knee injury.
Yeah.
Got to keep him healthy.
Minor note.
But thankfully, nothing significant. But out of Rams camp, he's working through a little bit of a knee situation, so we hope that Puka's doing okay.
I want to say one thing about Samson. One of the most underrated receivers ever to play at BYU. When he came that first year when BYU was just kind of getting things going in the big time, he came from having played in big time. I think he was one of the unsung heroes. He was a great leader.
Mm.
A great leader.
Oh.
And when they would play big, P5 teams that year when he was a senior, he would say, "We can play these guys. I played these guys. We're better than these guys." His leadership didn't get recognized enough, and he'll bring that. Even though he's a young guy, he brings this leadership kind of mentality to the Saints. I think he's going to make it, and he's going to be good.
He's a unique guy that never lost in the BYU-Utah rivalry, somehow.
How about that? How about that?
On that note, all rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Dude, once you love it, it's Christmas morning every day.
The nice thing about our offense right now is we have so many returners.
I like this team a lot.
We need to be hitting on all cylinders, and that's all three phases, and I think this is a good start to it.
That's the key, a good start. What's Trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. I can't believe we're almost one full week into the books, yet here we are. BYU football has practiced officially 4 days, had a day off yesterday, as they do on Sundays. But in the spirit of four official practices, Blaine, we're going to play four notable sound bites that we feel cover the four top storylines from camp thus far, beginning with running back LJ Martin. Now, it was reported last week in the Deseret News that LJ could miss the first three, maybe four games. Well, after practice on Friday evening, Blaine, LJ spoke to the media about his health and very quickly shot down the idea that he won't be ready for week one.
Yeah, I'm participating in everything. I mean, I've been being out here with the guys, you know, just out here competing. So it's been real fun, you know, just being out here for the first couple of days of camp.
There's been speculation you've been banged up. What's your health level at? What are you dealing with right now?
Nothing. I'm participating.
So you're healthy, good to go.
Yeah, I'll be good. I'm good right now. I'll be good.
Good. Blaine,
I'll be good.
What do you make of those comments the day after it was reported that he could miss as many as 3 to 4 games?
So let's start with what's not a secret. So he had a shoulder injury in spring ball. I think that's out, and everybody knows that, right?
Sure.
So time frame is, when do you test a certain amount compared to the other one? All of those kinds of things. Here's the good news. LJ is out there running full speed in drills. Now, is he cleared? They haven't had full pads on. They haven't tackled running backs to the ground yet. Would you let him tackle LJ to the ground anyhow?
No.
In fall camp? No. You're not going to tackle Hinkley to the ground. You're not going to tackle LJ to the ground. And you're not going to tackle Miles to the ground in fall camp, period. So what they would hold him out of is something he probably wouldn't participate in anyhow, right? And so LJ's saying, hey, because you know how the medical people are. What's the worst case scenario? You know, maybe we should hold him out this long. How long till he should be hit? How long till this? How long till that? Where is he on the testing? All that. LJ's saying, I'm way ahead of schedule. And so I think I'm going to play. What I think the real answer is, I think he doesn't know. And the medical staff doesn't know. Because they're going to monitor it for the next 3 weeks.
Yes.
And see where he's... Because they don't want to put him at risk. Is there a chance he could sit out a game or two? Maybe. Is there a chance he could play?
Maybe.
Maybe. And I think LJ was telling the truth. I'm out here. Here's what I liked. Day one of practice, we see him out there. He's out there. He's running full speed. He looks good. He's got his quickness. He looks like he's in shape. That's the main thing. So now we'll see. Now we'll see. The good news also is that Miles Davis is 100% healthy.
Yes.
Hinkley Ropati is 100% healthy. They have a couple of freshman running backs that look really, really good. A lot of freshmen looking good in fall camp. So... yeah, I don't know if it's gigantic news or not. We'll see how big that news is when we get to the practices leading up to game one in game week.
We know a few things. LJ, after speaking with the media, says that I'll be good. Now, how do you define good, and what is the timetable on that? That is what we don't know.
Right.
However, I do know that doctors are encouraged by his progress.
He's ahead.
If you asked the same team doctors and the people around the situation, the entire athletic training staff, about LJ's status a month ago or 6 weeks ago, they're probably telling you something similar to what was reported in the Deseret News. But a lot can happen in that amount of time. And as you said, LJ's ahead of schedule. Then somebody asked me, but do you really expect him to play against Southern Illinois on August 31st? And this is my personal opinion. This is just my opinion based on everything that I've heard and me being an observer from a distance. No, I don't expect him to play against Southern Illinois.
Does he need to?
But I know. And
but
that's
you do expect him to play at SMU.
I do expect him to play against SMU.
Here's the key. This is always going to be the case. The player is going to want to play as fast as they can play. So LJ wants out there. He says, I'm ready to go right now. I don't know if that's true. And the medical staff's job is to say, we want to put him out there as fast as we can without putting him at risk for re-injury. Mm. So we're going to be cautious. And you know what happens? Somewhere in the middle, they come to an agreement. And so we'll see.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say is we will see.
I am guessing that I will be told when I give my first injury report on August 31st, LJ Martin is available.
Yeah.
But questionable to play.
There you go. So, hey, running backs is a big story. But the biggest storyline there in camp has been the quarterback battle. We know this. This is between Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff. Offense coordinator Aaron Roderick gave an update on the quarterback battle. He specifically laid out the timeline for naming a starting quarterback, the separation or lack thereof so far. Because he was asked about, you know, is anyone separating? And he basically said no. Here's that soundbite.
We'll be exactly 50-50 even reps with the ones for indefinitely right now until somebody emerges. I'm not in a hurry at all, so no, I feel really comfortable that, and there's a really good chance we're going to need both of those guys at some point this year anyway, so I'm not in a rush.
Do you think Aaron Roderick has learned anything in his time as offensive coordinator? Guess what? Yes, he's learned a ton. And it begins with, you need multiple quarterbacks when you play college football.
Amen to that. And you need multiple good guys. And, you know, I went out and watched the four top guys work with John Beck a couple of weeks ago, and I walked away from that workout thinking, hey, BYU has four guys that could actually win football games. Now, there's going to be a pecking order, and you've got more experience with Bohannon. You've got, Jake that's been in the system and actually started some games. Hillstead's young, but he's played at the Division I level. Bourget, I think, maybe throws the ball as well or better than any of the four guys, and he's young. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. So I think the quarterback room is deep. Now what I want to see happen is somebody really step up and just take it by the neck.
Where it's clear who the starter is.
This is my job. Yeah. The team believes in me. You can see that the team believes in me. You can see. The evidence is I'm taking care of the football in practice. And so, I mean, as you look, it really comes down to the two guys with the most experience, and Jake and Gary. Games played? Seven. This is, and we're looking at last 223 in 2022 for Bohannon, since that's the last time he played. Their last full seasons, Jake started four games, played in four games. And you look at the passing yards and per game, the completion percentage, touchdowns, interceptions. I don't like either of that, the stat line for either of those guys on that, because I want it to be, I have really high expectations in this offense. I like 3-1.
Sure.
I like 3-1.
At worst, 2-1.
Not 1-1. 2-1 is okay. You win a lot of games with your quarterback going 2-1. 3-1 is where offenses are really clicking, when your quarterback's taking care of the football. So the two things I know that Aaron's watching for is, who's moving the team? Who has the heart of the team? That's important, because the team knows who's the best out there, right? And Aaron's got to read that, because he's got to put somebody out there that they trust. Take care of the ball, move the offense, have the heart of the team. That's the deal. Mm. And whoever has that, when you get into that last couple weeks, will be the starter.
The question at hand is, when will a starter be named? Aaron Roderick says, I'm not in a rush. But I think every fan is in a rush, because naturally you want to know who the guy is going to be so that you can jump in on that ship, you know, full-fledged and be ready to go, part of that fan crew. I don't think we're going to know until at least August 15th.
Yeah.
I think we're 10 days away at a minimum of knowing who BYU's starter is, so that then the starter is named and they would have 2 full weeks to prepare for Southern Illinois. Amen. That's the date that I have circled, is maybe August 15th.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, Aaron Roderick also spoke about the progress his offense has made from last year to this year. But it's not just the offense that is performing well this camp, and A-Rod pointed that out as well.
I thought we did really well the first 2 days, and then today defense got the better of us, and I think they played well, and I think a lot of it was just we're going fast. We put in a lot of stuff in 3 days.
Oh, they are implementing a lot of different packages on that offensive side. That said, Blaine, you ask any member of the BYU defense, maybe some staff members, they'll tell you it wasn't just Friday that the defense is dominated. They feel like the defense has been the true champ over the first 4 days of camp.
If you said who won the first 4 days of camp, and I do like the cohesion of this team, because the defensive guys will even say, well, offense is looking good. They're way ahead of last year, but we've won camp so far, right? Especially once they put pads on. And as Aaron mentioned, the first 2 days, you don't have shoulder pads, and you have helmets on. But the D-line and the linebackers that are coming can't really push that hard, make contact, and knock guys off the ball without pads on. So now they've had shoulder pads on. Today they go full pads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So now we'll see another ratcheting up of the intensity. And those next 2 days, when they actually kind of one click up, shoulder pads on, the defense took a little more command. You think about this. Aaron says, we're putting in a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Install at a really advanced rate, which they can do because they have quarterbacks that were here in spring ball, right? And so that's good. That's all good. It'll be bad if a week and a half from now you and I say, defense has won the whole camp so far. Because what has to happen with good teams is there's a domination by one side, then the other side comes back with a chip on the shoulder, and then they have a good day and back and forth. And sometimes there's 2 days, but you want the back and forth through camp.
You want balance?
With a couple of exceptions. When I'm a freshman, Jim McMahon just broke 76 NCAA records as a junior, and I'm there watching basically. Offense dominated every practice. Jim was throwing BBs all over the yard. It was like, okay, that's the way it should be, right? Not this year. This year, with who they've got on both sides of the ball, it should be a back and forth throughout camp.
I agree. You want balance in all things.
Yeah.
You want moderation
in
all things, especially during a fall camp.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit more about the defense. The offense taking a lot of the headlines, right, because this quarterback position battle is a big, big one. And the running backs, you know what's going on with the running backs. But maybe the most underrated position battle in camp is at the safety position.
Okay.
Jay Hill's defense has some talented safeties, some veterans and some young ones. Here's the defensive coordinator talking about the battle royale in the secondary.
Okay. We have 6 safeties right now that have started games at BYU. So it's a tough battle right now. And then you add a couple really, really talented freshmen to the group, and it is battle royale. So it's, I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Six different safeties that have started a game for BYU. That is unbelievable.
That's bad in the past. It's good in the future.
Yes, and that's what was said last year. Jay was like, man, in the moment, it's tough. But I'm proud of the guys for battling through the adversity that they were dealing with in 2023. It will pay off at some point. Well, now is the time for it to pay off. And so six different safeties have started, but then you throw in some really talented freshmen as well, Blaine. Yes. There are eight dudes that feel like, I'm ready to play against Southern Illinois on August 31st. Just give me a chance, coach. Throw me out there. And here's the thing I love about the safeties and the defense specifically. There's very little entitlement on the defensive side of the ball right now. And that's a little different than it was last year. And I'm not saying that entitlement is necessarily a bad thing, especially if you're an upperclassman, because like you've worked hard, you feel like you're there, you belong. But there's this attitude of, it doesn't matter if you're a senior or you're a freshman, you have to go out and earn your spot. That is the mentality that Jay Hill has brought to the defense, is no more free passes, no more easing into things if you're a junior or a senior. You have to show up day one and be ready to go. If you are not coachable and you're flashing an attitude, guess what?
You're out.
Your butt's going to be on the bench.
Yeah. I'll say this. The two freshman DBs that are really standing out, Satuwala from Bountiful,
yes,
and Tommy Prassis out of Arizona, their talent level is so high that the juniors and seniors are going, whoa, these dudes can play right now. I better bring my experience and my game every day. And the result, like Talon Alfrey is playing at a really high level right now. Pressure from those freshmen is a great thing.
Oh, I love to watch how this is unfolding. The secondary in general, Jacob Robinson, incredible stuff, Blaine. Our question of the day. We just went through what we believe are the four top headlines and storylines through 4 days of camp. We want to know what you think 1 week into fall camp about BYU football. What do you feel like you know that you didn't before things began last week? At Mick underscore Sorensen 32 on X Answers. The Gary Bohannon hype is really starting to build. I think for a lot of the offseason, most people had Jake as the starter week one, but from this past week of fall camp, I'm really starting to sense that a 100% healthy Bohannon can win the starting job and lead this team. All right.
Yeah. And we've got later in the show, we got some great stuff coming from Gary.
We're going to hear from
Jake
of the quarterbacks.
So you'll have a better idea after that. If you miss any of our fall camp interviews or coverage, you can always find them on demand on BYUSN.com or on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel.
Speaking of what we were just talking about, one of those quarterbacks battling it out for the starting job tells us why his shoulder feels better than ever. What was the secret for Gary Bohannon to get right? This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Gary brings with him experience from another program.
Hopefully, one of them can rise to the occasion here early on in the season and generate some momentum.
Gary Bohannon, he can slice you up on offense with his arm, but he definitely can take off and run it for 80 yards as well.
Here's to the dual threat quarterback. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside everyone's favorite dual threat analyst, Uncle B, Blaine Fowler. I had an opportunity to speak with both BYU quarterbacks recently, and we'll begin with the new guy, Gary Bohannon, who is trying to figure out one if his shoulder is okay, and he revealed some things in this interview that suggest that it just might be turning a significant corner, and how he's feeling about the install, Aaron Roderick's offense, and who has the heart of the team. This is Gary Bohannon on BYU Sports Nation. Gary, you're a man who understands heat coming from the South and fall camp and camp in the heat. It's been warm here and some people have been complaining. How does this compare to other fall camps you've been in?
I've been in hotter. I'm not complaining about the heat at all. I prefer the heat. I'm cool with it. We're going to sweat a little bit. As long as you hydrate, you'll be all right. But this Florida humidity, it's not the same. So it's a big difference. I can tell you that one.
It's a dry heat in Utah.
Yeah, you can live with this one. You can live with dry heat.
All right. First day where the shells are on, you hear pads popping, helmets kind of clanging against each other, and the defense has a push. What was it like to have the defensive push up another level for the first time in camp?
It felt good. We need it. We need those live reps. That's how it's going to feel in the game. That's how we need to practice. I mean, if you watch the days before, the defense weren't really rushing like that. They was more trying to bat the ball down. But today, to get actual reps with a lot of the plays we actually need a rush, a pass rush. We need movement. We need pads popping. We need all that. So I thought it was a good day to first and get that out here and go ahead and get started with it. So,
what's the most significant challenge that the BYU defense has presented to you in, we'll call it, 3 days of camp thus far?
They have a lot in. They do a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts, a lot of different coverages, put a lot of guys in one-on-one. They have a crazy blitz package. I got to give it to them. One of the best blitz packages I've ever seen, seriously. So,
okay, on the other side, what do you feel like the offense or the best thing that the offense has accomplished in those same 3 days?
I think attacking and taking in the install. We are installing a lot right now, and it's going pretty fast. So I think the guys are coming out here and executing and running it well. Of course, we're going to have some mistakes. We're going to have missed throws, drops. Missed blocks, like that's just a part of football. We're learning, we're installing, so we just got to keep building off of what we're doing and try to get better each day.
In light of the install, how do you feel like you're grasping the entirety of the playbook at this point?
I think I'm doing a good job. I think I'm doing pretty well, actually. Just got to continue to master it and spend time on it, continue to watch it. The more reps you get to see certain plays versus different looks, and that's the thing about it. Of course, you know the offense, but do you know exactly what to do against all these different looks? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to have answers. What you going to do when they blitz you? Where's your hot answer? Where's your one-on-one? Those kind of things. So just continue to dial in and understand that part.
You've played for a number of different programs. You've won at the highest level in the Big 12 back in your Baylor days. Now you're at BYU. What sets this culture and this team and their specific skill set apart from the other teams you've been a part of?
First off, just the city of Provo. The standard here is high. You got to win here. So just to start off with that, the standard is raised by the community. And we know what the standard is in the locker room. And just for us here, I think we have a talented roster. We can do whatever we want to do. I honestly feel that. We just got to continue to get better, continue to compete, and understand that there's no easy game on our schedule. Everybody train the way we train, practice the way we practice. So we just got to continue to stack and build days and continue to get better and push each other every day. Come out here and compete. Don't take a playoff. Don't take any reps off. Just come in and line up across from the guy and try to win every rep. Sometimes you're going to lose. How are you going to respond to it?
Everybody wants to know how your shoulder is feeling now that you're throwing a ton and you had that surgically repaired. How does it feel right now, now that you're throwing a bunch of footballs every day?
I think it feels good. It feels good to me. No, I feel really good. I feel normal. I really feel better. And I've felt in a long, long, long time. So I'm excited about it. Haven't had any issues. Don't think I'm going to have any issues either. So just happy to be out here, man. And just enjoying being able to get all this reps. So.
When did you first notice, I feel good? Like you really feel like you're back. When was that moment?
I went and got stem cells and had to take a week off. That Wednesday, I text the doctor, said, can I throw today? Which is a week later, he said, yes. I went in through, felt great. So I felt so good, I threw the next day. Took a day off, threw again. I was like, if I can roll 5 out of 6 days, I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? So then I knew that, okay, this thing is back. Let's just take care of it. Let's sit down now. Now that you feel it, let's sit down and take care of it. So
awesome. Here's the modern medicine. When was that? What month was that?
End of May. So I came back June. It was going into June, though, so I had to chill for the first week of June a little bit. But after that, I was fine, rolling, doing everything.
I mentioned this with your buddy Jake Retzlaff, but I know you're so tired of the phrase quarterback battle at this point, but you're in it and people are excited about it. And at BYU, people are excited about it. How has being in this scenario benefited you as an athlete, both mentally and physically?
I think people tend to think that things are supposed to be given to you. You have to work for everything you get. Whatever you're doing, you have to work for it. And to be the best, you have to have talent around you that's pushing you. So I think the benefit of it is, man, I'm both talented players. Our room is talented. Just come in every day, compete in the meets, compete in the workout, compete on here on the field. Like, you want that because now you know there's not a day that you can take off. Like, that standard, and the day you take off, that guy going to show out. So it's good to have that around you. Like, it's really, really good to have.
What do you do best right now? And in turn, where are you the most critical on yourself when it comes to assessing your game right now?
Right now? I think I'm doing quite a bit really, really well. I think some issues, like I had two throws lately. My arm felt so good. I'm like trying to rip it in there. Kind of need to dial back on that, kind of have the ball batted down and those kind of things. But also understanding pressure and knowing that if I can help the back with the call or knowing when to get to my check down. I mean, I've done a solid job at it, but I had one today that I thought maybe I should have got to the check down faster.
Everybody also wants to know about the offensive line and playing behind them. And I know you weren't here last year, so you don't really have the direct comparison, but you can still assess the play of the offensive line. How would you rate it early in camp at this point?
So for me, I went back and watched every game last year just to see the talent that was here, and they look a lot better. Coach Woods is grinding. He has those boys grinding, and they're coming out here working and compete with each other. And I think we have depth at that position. I feel like last year maybe there wasn't so much depth and so many guys moved around. There was so much going on that no one could really focus on playing this position. Now I feel like we have the talent to move around, but guys are understanding what exactly to do in detail on each and every play, whether it's a trade block, deuce block, whatever it is. They're understanding everything about it and who to work up to, how to get there, what's the best way and the most efficient way to get there, and versus, look, what do I need to do? So the communication up there is really, really solid right now. They're getting it together.
Gary Bohannon is with us on BYU Sports Nation. You're throwing to a very deep, talented core of wide receivers who have a lot of experience. They all want the ball all the time, Gary. Who's the loudest? Who's the loudest receiver right now?
Man, to be honest with you, they all working. They all playing some good ball right now. So I don't even know who would be the loudest right now, but all those guys coming to you. I'm one-on-one, I'm open, give me the ball. So that's what you want, though, as a quarterback. That's what you want. You want guys confident knowing they're coming there and winning their one-on-ones. If they can win their one-on-ones, you win games. So they just need to keep up doing what they're doing, continue to get better.
The tight end is a prominent position at BYU. They call themselves the quarterback's best friend. They feel like they clean up things. Just throw it up to me, it's good. How are the tight ends performing, in your opinion?
That's a loaded group. They are very detailed. They have a great coach. They understand what they're doing. They're pushing each other. They're competing as well. That's a competitive room as well, but they're all coming out here trying to get better. They're understanding them, what we want to do in the run game, the pass game, and they have a lot on their plate. So just to see those guys come out here and compete, come out here and attack the ball and just continue to help each other. And if you see them walking off the field, they coach each other. That's a tight group. That's what you want with your tight end. So that's what you want with every position, but they're doing a good job right now.
If anyone has, has anyone surprised you by name on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball, where you're like, whoa.
If you want the truth, I wouldn't say anybody surprising me right now just because I've been here all summer with these guys, and whether we're overlooked, whatever you want to call it, I've seen how the guys work. I've seen how they come in, attack, get extra work, compete. So everybody doing what I expect them to do. We done put in a lot of work this summer, so the expectation is a lot higher than what people think it is. So everybody continue to try to get better. That's all you can ask for in camp. This is the third day of camp. Everybody just watch the film, learn from it, and get better the next day. Mm.
All right, well, that leads me into my next question, which is because of the noise from the national pundits, and you say the standard's much higher for yourselves compared to what people are saying BYU is going to do, how do you individually use that as motivation?
I think just for me personally, my mama and my parents instilled that standard, that high work ethic, whatever you're doing, school. If I bought a B home, we had to hold a conversation about making a B. Whatever, I ran track. If I didn't win a track race, why didn't you win that? How was your preparation? So for me, that's just my lifestyle. You have to live that way. If you want to be good on the field, you have to do everything that way. You have to have a high standard of everything you do. You eating right. If you eating, how you want to come out here and perform at a high level every day if you're not eating right? You understand me? So I think that's the key. Like, if everybody can understand that, not only do you apply that standard and expectation to football, but apply it to your life.
All right, bonus question. How does Gary Bohannon decompress after practice? Is it a drink, a specific beverage, a dessert, or are you watching the Olympics? Like, what are you doing to decompress a little bit?
This is so crazy. I was just talking to my mama at lunchtime about how I need to start decompressing because I'm getting into bed and not able to fall asleep because I'm going home, I'm eating and watching film at the same time, and I literally watch film until I like doze off. That's really not good to have a screen in your face, so I think off-season, I spend time with my son, as much time I can with him, spend time with my family. So that's what I try to do. But now I'm in camp. It's close to the season. I'm kind of like ball, 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 ball. I got to figure out what I'm going to do to decompress. But last night, I got into bed like 8:30, couldn't fall asleep, and I start reading the book. So I might start reading.
I was just going to say, read a book. Take some melatonin, man.
Dude, I used the melatonin spray on my pillow, spray my bed area. I soaked in a tub in the melatonin, and I got the melatonin candle. I was just telling my mama, I got to get it together. Something going on. But I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get it together. I told her I'm going to stop watching film earlier.
you were mentioning attention to detail and all things, bro. That is attention to detail.
You got to. You have to. That's the only way to live.
All right, Gary. We appreciate the time.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Gary Bohannon, a fantastic conversation. We got to get that guy some good rest. Yes. He said his 5-year-old son's been coming in, waking him up at night too, like, dang. Or seeing, like, staying up and like, Dad, why don't you need to go to sleep? He's like, yeah, you're not helping. You're not helping.
Well, and he's right. Putting a screen in front of your face and watching film before you, like, he's got to get away from it. I didn't even know there was melatonin of all that stuff. Like, I take a couple of melatonin before I go to bed because my brain doesn't shut off, you know? And so I do. And that's when I'm not looking at a screen. But I love, he's like, I spray my pillow with melatonin spray. I soak in a melatonin bath. I'm doing everything. But I love the read a book idea. Read a book. And read the most boring one you can possibly.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Read a book. And he is an open book. Yeah. Hey, can't tell.
You got to love his leadership and his poise. He is something special. So, well, let's move forward. After further reviews, back tomorrow with our scheduled show as we roll through the fall game by game. Join us tomorrow at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Up next, it's time for another Cougars in Paris update at the 2024 Olympics. Plus, how big of a deal is it really that Yegor Demin is now a 5-star prospect at BYU? This is BYU SN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. I don't do the TikTok thing.
Not yet?
No, I got to get up to date.
Listen, I know McCann doesn't do it.
No,
but you could definitely bring your swagger to
TikTok. Don't think
that
anything Dave does influences what I do, just for the record. If Dave doesn't do TikTok, that doesn't mean that I can't do it.
He is Uncle B. Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton, and it's time for your daily trivia as we celebrate the 100th season of BYU football. Colton stumped us last time. What do you have for us today, Colton?
All right, today's question. Taysom Hill has 3 of the top 5 rushing seasons by a quarterback in BYU history. Which other 2 BYU quarterbacks are in the top 5 rushing yards?
Rushing yards in a season.
Yes.
I'm going to say Steve Young.
Steve's got to be one of them, right?
Steve might be. Colton, hint. Can it be one guy for both? Or is it 2 different quarterbacks?
It is 2 different quarterbacks.
Okay, so we're going to say Steve Young with 1.
Did Virgil Carter
go
nuts
a lot.
In the 60s?
I'm with
Brandon Dolman, I know, gets thrown into that category, but I think he only rushed for somewhere between 400 and 500
yards.
I'm
with you. Let's go Steve and Virgil.
Steve Young and Virgil Carter. Final answers, Colton.
That's it.
You mentioned the correct names, but it's Virgil Carter and Brandon.
Oh, it is Dolan. Brandon.
Oh, you said
it
Brandon.
It is Brandon.
How is Steve not in that deal?
Wow. Colton, stay on the mic if you can. How close is Steve to being in that list of the top 2? Is
he Give me a minute. Give me a minute. Okay.
He's
going to
look it up. He's going to look it up for
check
us.
Check the numbers. Okay, he's going to let us know. I'm shocked that Steve's
on
that list.
I'm glad you came up with Virgil. And he's so underrated in BYU fandom because this generation doesn't understand how good Virgil Carter was.
Oh, yeah.
He's special, special player, NFL guy, and so athletic. He was a dual threat guy. So I'm pumped that you came up with that.
It was close. Brandon Dolman, 12 more yards.
Oh, Brandon, 12
Brandon
more yards
Dolman,
than Steve.
12 more than Steve Young. So I had it mixed up. I knew that one of the 2 big names did not have as many yards as
you
thought,
would
and it was
think.
Steve.
It's Steve, okay.
And it's Steve. How
All
about
right.
that?
I'm going to say Steve's the fastest quarterback to ever play at BYU.
I'm not going to disagree with
because
that.
Because when he went from Tampa to the Niners, they did 40 times, and he ran the 3rd fastest 40 time on the Niners. A receiver, Merton Hanks, then Steve Young. Those are the 3 fastest guys on the Niners.
Primetime will tell you that Steve is an incredible athlete and fast, that's for sure.
So there you go.
All right, time for today's headlines.
Yes, let's start with this. Cougars in the Olympics. We're going to give you an update. Courtney Wayman qualified for the final in the steeplechase yesterday. After running the 4th fastest time overall between all the heats, the final will be tomorrow at 1:10 Mountain Time. Whitney Orton Morgan will race today in the 5,000 meters finals at 1:10 Mountain Time. Morgan is one of 16 athletes who will be competing in the finals after she ran the 14th fastest time in the prelims. And then prelims for the men's steeplechase is at the top of the hour today. BYU's James Corrigan is in heat 1. Kenneth Rooks is in heat 3. So BYU folks representing in the Olympics. I'm telling you, Courtney Wayman, does she have a chance to medal?
Well, she runs the way she did.
I think she does.
Jimmer Fredette, Team USA. We thought we're the best chance to
make. Oh,
this is heartbreaking. Eliminated in 3x3 yesterday after a 21-6 loss to the Netherlands. Fredette hasn't played since early in game number two because of an injury, which he revealed on social media yesterday is two different ligaments completely torn in his adductor that prevented him. It's a six-month recovery. He's never had a significant injury in his entire basketball career, amateur or professional, until the Olympics. Like, the timing is wild. Jimmer said, quote, I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, and something this has taught me is to enjoy the journey. You never know what can happen once you reach your destination, but if you don't enjoy getting there, you are missing the point. We love Jimmer.
Feels terrible for Jimmer.
Oh, by the way, he's just elevated to the number one ranked 3x3 player in the world the same day he got injured.
It's terrible. Hey, BYU football fall camp continues today with practice number 5. On Friday last week, after practice, running back LJ Martin spoke to the media and shot down any concerns regarding his health.
Yeah, I'm participating in everything. I mean, I've been being out here with the guys, you know, just out here competing. So it's been real fun, you know, just being out here for the first couple of days of camp.
There's been speculation that you're banged up. What's your health level at? What are you dealing with right now?
Nothing. I'm participating.
So you're healthy, good to go, full go right now?
Yeah, I'll be good. I'm good right now. I'll be good.
Take him for his word.
I'll be good. I'm good right now. I'll be good.
So there you have it. BYU men's basketball, specifically Yegor Demon. How about this? Given a five-star rating by 24/7 Sports, the first five-star in BYU basketball history. 24/7 Sports has Demon rated as the 16th best overall player in the 2024 recruiting class. He's a projected lottery pick in the 2025 NBA draft. More on this in a moment.
Yeah, big time. Hey, in women's soccer, they held their annual blue and white scrimmage on Saturday night. Team Blue edged out Team White 2-1 thanks to a late goal from Aaron Bailey, one of the vets. Freshman Emma Hamberlin and senior transfer Savannah Hansen each added goals as well. BYU plays two exhibition matches this week before opening up the season next week against Wisconsin, who's a big-time program.
A little bit of breaking news this morning. The preseason coaches top 25 college football poll released, and there are five Big 12 teams in that top 25. Utah 13, Kansas State number 17, Oklahoma State with the 18 spot, Arizona at 21, and number 24, Kansas. By the way, BYU plays all five.
Of course they
of those preseason.
How many does Utah play?
Two.
I'm like, how does that happen?
Hey, at least BYU's got four of these opponents at home.
Yeah, so let's finish our headlines with this. Some Nacua in the NFL news. ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that Rams all-pro wide receiver Puka Nacua is considered week-to-week with a knee injury that was described as, quote, not serious. Mm. And the older Nacua Sampson signed a free agent deal with the Saints over the weekend, joining former Cougars Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams in New Orleans. Love to see Sampson in the league. Love his leadership. I think he's going to be good for the Saints.
After the break, the other quarterback fighting for that QB1 spot, Jake Retzlaff, shares what he feels like he has done well through the first few days of camp and how the quarterback battle is helping everyone. This is BYUSN.
The players are going to rally to the guy that they trust the most.
I look forward to seeing he emerges as a starting quarterback.
Jake Retzlaff has a significant advantage in that he has been in Aaron Rodgers' program.
He's got a lot of moxie.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. It's time now for the second of our dual threat quarterback interviews today. It is Jake Retzlaff, who many consider as the incumbent to take over as BYU begins the 2024 season. How does Jake feel about this quarterback battle, and where has he made the biggest strides in the last few months? One-on-one with Jake Retzlaff.
Jake, for the first time in camp, guys have pads on, shells, and that defense has given you a full-on push. What was that like to face that next level of defense for the first time in fall camp?
Here in the pads, clack, it's a different feeling. It's a different sensation for the guys around here. Anybody been around a football field, it's a good feeling. You know, get to hear that going. The anticipation for it has been high. Guys have been hitting hard before here, whether they get bruises or not, but now they don't, so they're hitting even harder. So the intensity's up, so it's a lot of fun.
How would you sum up your performance over the first 2 days of camp?
Good. I think the offense came out firing day one. Defense responded well day two. But I think that I've done, you know, a lot of really good things and some things that are going to be fun to clean up during camp. You know, day one and two are fun days because, you know, it's interesting ball. You're still installing the new stuff. You don't have the answers for everything yet, so defense can win some and offense can win some too. So it's been a really good couple of days, and it's just so fun to be back here with the guys.
You obviously have been around the program the longest with all of the quarterbacks and have been with Coach Roderick and in the playbook. So how would you explain how comfortable you are with the playbook as it stands right now?
I mean, as close to 100% as I can get. You can never get 100, but I'm pretty close. I feel like anything he throws at me on the field, I can just put the pieces together and make it happen and kind of go on the fly. You know, with the new stuff, the plays that we run sometimes, you know, it's like, for me, I'm not thinking about it a lot. I'm like, okay, this is why he's doing this. This is, you know, it's the understanding of why. And now it's not the understanding of just what, but now why. And so I think that it's helping me take my level of play up to the next level.
Where have you noticed the biggest difference when you talk about next level of play?
I think it's all around offense guys having another year together. I think we didn't have a lot of guys depart overall. And so offensively, we've taken advantage of that in so many ways. Like, how many receivers are back? All of them. How many O-linemen are back? Like, all of them except for a couple guys. So it's just awesome to have that chemistry out there, and it just makes everything easier.
You've been a major vocal leader and a guy that's been running player-run practices and been at the center and the core of that over the summer. So how do you feel like that has translated from what you've done over the summer to what's happening right now?
You know, guys are ready to go. I think day one we saw the biggest reflection of the work we put in the summer. Guys weren't surprised with what was going on out there. Guys are ready to roll. And offense had a really good day one. And so that kind of momentum, we're just riding that and just going to keep going, keep pushing all the way through. Those play-run practices is the reason we're prepared to put so much volume of plays into the playbook every week. Every day is a new install for the first week or two. And so being able to just have experience with that stuff, especially for the new guys. You know, we got like 18-year-old freshmen out here trying to figure it out, and they're doing a pretty good job. They're doing better than maybe most might expect them to do, and so it's awesome. Those play-run practices are paying off for sure.
Camp is such an interesting balance because, obviously, on your side of the ball, you'd love to dominate all of the time in every play, but that might not necessarily mean good things for the defense. You'd like to see balance. So how has the balance been with both sides of the ball trying to compete at a high level thus far?
It's been incredible. Like I said, day one, offense came off fire, and day two, defense responded well. Today was awesome because it was a red zone period, so we got to really, you know, touchdowns or not touchdowns. It's a pretty simple game that way, and so it's fun when the defense, the offense is going back and forth, energy level, switching side by side every other play. It's a touchdown or it's a big play for the defense or whatever it is. So it's just awesome to have that energy high. I think we can get it even higher. I think we're nowhere close to where it's going to be in a few weeks, and so I'm excited to see that.
I don't know how many times you've heard the phrase quarterback battle, but you're in the thick of it right now. And we often hear like it raises the game of everyone. How does it raise the game for you specifically to be in this situation?
Yeah, so I mean, the truth of iron sharpens iron cannot be more true in a setting like this, in a game like this. We're all so competitive. We all want to be out there playing. And at the quarterback position, there is one guy on the field. There's one guy running the show. And so that makes it even more competitive. It's super awesome to have a guy like Gary to compete against. That guy, he's an incredible dude and just a guy who's been around ball a lot, so you just bounce things off him, talk to him about things. And so it's a fun to compete against a guy like that. And what's nice is I'm always competing against the defense. You know, it's not direct comparison, not direct, you know, competition. And so it's easy for me to go out there, you know, beat the defense and then celebrate with him and vice versa.
I know it's early, but what's the most significant challenge the defense has presented to you as a quarterback so far?
Oh, man, a lot of new faces who are athletic, who are long. I mean, obviously Jack Kelly we had in the spring, but, like, Che has showed up and played really well. Shane Moa has showed up and played really well. And defensively, I mean, just guys who got length and guys who got another year under their belt. A guy who, you know, everybody took strength and conditioning to another level this offseason, and you can see it on the field. Guys are moving faster. Guys are jumping higher. Guys are making better plays.
You mentioned some specific defensive players. Who has surprised you on the offensive side of the ball with you coming into camp?
Oh, man, not a lot of surprises after PRPs and stuff like that, but it's fun to see the freshmen who haven't seen ball yet, like Prince Zombo, who didn't participate in spring, and Cody Hagan, who didn't participate in spring, just came home off his mission. Guys looking like he's been out here before. So it's super awesome to see those guys be able to compete at a high level, and it's their first time out here against a, you know, P4 defense.
Everybody wants to know, because they've heard, that the offensive line under the direction of TJ Woods has improved. There's more accountability. They're more assignment sound. You experienced that firsthand better than most. How would you say the offensive line has progressed specifically from last year to right now?
I mean, the word for offensive line is just gash. We've been gashing left and right, and it's stuff we didn't do very well a year ago, and Coach TJ Woods has taken this O-line to another level. I mean, there's not a whole ton of new faces, you know, and yet the O-line has taken their level of play up to another step. And so that's just a testament to the offseason work these guys have put in, the amount of hours they put in with the coaches, with the GAs, and individual work and stuff like that, and PRPs and stuff like that. That's just paid dividends. And like I said, those PRPs showed up, and they showed up at every position, especially O-line.
You've mentioned several times how hard you are on yourself. You're your own toughest critic, and you don't hold back on yourself. How has that benefited you over the last 8 months?
Oh, man, it's just, you know, a perfectionist mindset can't always be good, but sometimes it is. I'm the argument for that. Sometimes I'm too much of it, like you said. Sometimes I'm the hardest on myself and shouldn't be. But, yeah, just that mindset has just allowed me to, you know, sharpen every edge of my game. There's a lot to being a quarterback at this level, and so being able to, you know, be as good as I can at every little thing there is this position is something I'm striving to do. And so it's going to make me a better football player on the field, better guy, you know, in the classroom, a better teammate to the guys around me, and hopefully a better leader.
All right, let's finish with, what do you feel like you do best right now as a quarterback, and what's the area you feel like you really need to hone in on?
Wow, that's a good question. Best, I think, you know, improvising has always been fun. It's a fun part of my game. It's when things don't go right, making it go right, making it go better than right. That's the most, one of the most exciting parts of football, you know what I mean? And that's why guys like Patrick Mahomes are so exciting, because they do that a lot. I think I've sharpened that knife a few times. I don't know, the tool in my toolbox that I don't like right now, you know, maybe being rushed in the pocket. Maybe when things aren't going my way in the pocket, being able to stay in the pocket and throw it. Maybe that's it. You know, it's stuff like that I've been working hard with, you know, John Beck in the offseason back in California. And so stuff like that has been getting a lot better. So I don't know if it is my weakest point in my game so far. But that's me. I'm trying to make everything so much better that it's the weak point is not obvious, because everything is trying to get upgraded together.
Okay, bonus question. And I know you mentioned John Beck, and he's helped you immensely. He was in a few quarterback battles of his own, but how have you felt the support of your teammates who are trying not to silo anything out, but just be supportive regardless of who's in there?
Guys are doing incredible. You know, there's no cliques and guys picking who and who that I know of, or, you know, that the coaches know of. And so it's easy to kind of be like, all right, guys are behind whoever's out there. I think guys have seen high-level play from both of us, and so they know that, you know, A-Rod's best intentions are going to be on the field, and so whoever he decides to put in there is going to be the best guy for the job. And so I think that the trust in A-Rod is high, and so guys are going to trust his decision-making.
Not many people look as good as you do after practicing in the 100-degree heat, and you show up for an interview. You got that going for you too, Jake.
Thanks, appreciate it. Southern California, I'm used to this. This is cool. I like the breeze.
Thanks for the time.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Jake Retzlaff and Gary Bohannon, the 1 and 2, battling for that quarterback position. Hey, 1 week into fall camp, what do you know about BYU football that you didn't know when camp started? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. 1 week into BYU football fall camp, what do you know about Cougar football that you maybe didn't know when camp started? Our Elite Voice of the Day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. In from, brought to you by Allstate on X. They say that all players are bigger, faster, stronger, and are all flying around.
That's been a consistent theme. Even the quarterbacks just said that, right?
Oh, I love the phrase. Their guys are flying around. We hear that every year. Yeah, that is for sure. But, hey, we believe there is some truth to that, right?
No, I think it's true. To me, it's that there's some freshmen that I didn't know were this good that are going to contribute right now.
I love that.
Yeah, that's fun.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, and it goes to one of our very good friends and BYU TV analyst colleagues. He is the man. He's a hero. Steve Vail. And if you haven't heard, the elite volleyball analyst is battling brain cancer again. 8 years removed from beating it. He had brain surgery, tumor removed. He beat it. He's fighting it again, Blaine.
Phenomenal analyst, but one of the greatest human beings you're ever going to meet. And our prayers and hope go out for Steve Vail. He's got to get better. He did it once. He can beat this thing again.
He texted me last night, said, hopefully I'm slowly trending up. Prayers from family and friends are the only thing keeping me sane at this point. He sends his love to everyone that is sending support to him.
So keep him coming. Keep him coming.
Love, Steve. Love you, brother.
Yep.
We are praying for you. That's for sure.
Hey, a reminder that the prelims for the men's steeplechase is at the top of the hour. So BYU's James Corrigan, he's in Heat 1, and Kenneth Rooks is in Heat 3. And good luck to Whitney Orton Morgan, who's running 5,000 meters later this afternoon. So
Three Cougs in action at the Olympics this afternoon.
So fun to watch them not only just compete, but advance playing. Yeah.
How about, come on. I think we can get a medal here.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Our thanks to today's guests, Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff.
The conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For the fabulous Blaine Fowler, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out once again to Virgil Carter. We'll see you tomorrow for more BYU football fall camp news. Go Cougs.